Nutrition advice on Talk About in association with Anne D'Arcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Now, a very warm welcome to Anne D'Arcy, who has just joined us in studio. Welcome, Anne.
How are you on this windy
and
day.
Cold day
and
outside?
Rainy.
Yeah, I still walked to work though. I'll tell you, I'm a hero. I'm very proud of myself.
Well,
I'm
done.
Going out in all weathers these days.
And become a walker. You've become a walker.
I was always a walker, but I didn't walk to work until this year, and now I'm doing it regular. Apart from yesterday when you wouldn't put the cat out and I had to bring the car.
Yeah.
But apart from that, yeah, it is. It's a good way to start your day,
great.
Actually,
yeah,
with a
yeah.
bit of fresh air. Listen, we're going to talk a bit about what's in season because it's supposedly summer and I presume there's all sorts of lovely fruits and berries that are in season. And what's the advantage to eating fruits when they're in season as opposed to the ones that are flown from the other side of the world?
Because a lot of them are being brought into us because we don't get the heat to get them early. But we have strawberries out at the moment and a lot of the berries are out. But you know that by August in this country, the plums and the apples will be coming off the trees and then we'll have it fresher. There's a benefit, you have better nutrition if it hasn't had to travel the long distances. And what is local to you is obviously better. But, you know, I suppose in ways, what are you going to do? Are you going to eat something that's travelling and have a variety? You know, I talk a lot about the gut bacteria and the microbiome and those fruit and berries are and nuts and seeds and fibre and all the rest, but they're feeding your microbiome. So they're not just food. Oh, I like to eat a strawberry. It's what do they do to you on the inside? Full of vitamin C, helps your immunity. You know, when you stew up apples, you're getting apple pectin, or pears give you pectin. They heal the lining of the gut. So are we only going to eat them in season, or are we now going to eat them out of season to get the variety?
How would you stew an apple, by the way?
Well, I buy sweet apples rather than sour apples because I choose not to put a lot of sugar. If you're buying sour crab apples, which grow commonly and that's what people are making the apple tarts from, but they are putting a lot of sugar in. So when you get that lovely juicy apple tart or that the juice is running out of it, that's sugar syrup. So
because sugar has been added in to make it sweet.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Because the sour apples and the sour rhubarb is needing the sugar so that you'll eat it and to give you the juice. I can hear my mother saying, oh, but if you don't put enough sugar in, you're not going to get the juice of the tart. And people know what I'm talking about because you know this big juicy tart, but you know it's full of sugar. So I would choose to put sweet apples and boil up sweet apples. So I just boil them in a saucepan for me. And I like cinnamon. And cinnamon is really good for helping to balance your blood sugar. But I also like ground cloves for people who put cloves into the apple tart. You can buy them as cloves or you can buy it ground and then it's inside in the stewed apple. So I will stew up apples or pears. And, you know, if I have peaches left over or plums left over, I can boil the whole thing up. And if you're not going to go through all the fruit that's there, I put them into containers and I freeze them. And then on another day that you don't have fresh fruit, you can open it out. It's like opening a big ice block, but the ice block is, you know, full of the stewed fruit, and that is giving you really good feeding to the gut bacteria. So there is a purpose in it. You know, we want vitamin C because, and especially we see kind of allergy season where people are, you know, hay fevery time and people with running eyes and sneezing, then you're wanting to counteract the high histamine. So when you eat berries or you're having the vitamin C rich fruits, you're counteracting the histamine. You're going in with your own antihistamine effect. So there's a benefit to having fruit.
Yeah, so anyone who does have that high histamine, that hay fever, because we're right into it now this time of year, they'd be better off to be eating more apples and oranges and things, would they?
So you say apples will heal the lining of the gut, but not as high in vitamin C. It's
okay.
High in quercetin, and quercetin is a bioflavonoid that works as an anti-allergy. So apples are good from that point of view. But then you look at your mandarin oranges, and they're high in vitamin C. Mangoes, vitamin C. Pineapple, vitamin C. So when you get a combination, and it's just say you're making a fruit salad, and you're putting apples and berries, and you're chopping in some pineapple, you're getting the wide variety. Now you know we're not growing pineapples in this country. So if you're going to eat a pineapple, it has to be shipped in. We're not growing oranges in this country. So they have to be shipped in. The mandarins, when have you seen a mandarin tree around here? They're all coming up to us from Spain at the moment, or from, you know, maybe from France even. But, you know, we have to ship in certain things or we're not going to get them. But yes, we grow gooseberries and we grow blackberries and we have blackcurrants. Blackcurrants per weight have higher vitamin C than any of the citrus fruit. And again, you go back and you think about all the pots of jam that were made and all the bags of sugar. You know, when people are going making jam, they buy bags of sugar. You know, there's nothing wrong with having sugar if you're burning off the sugar you got. So we had an industry, we had the sugar beet factories, and we had our own good sugar. And you had it, and you had it combined with, you had jam on your bread that you had put a big slab of butter. You know, you balanced the blood sugar. You hear me talking about trying to keep your blood sugar in balance. Don't be triggering insulin resistance. And yet, if we make jam, we're going to have a high sugar food. But what that was doing was trying to give you the nutrition from that pot of jam that you were able to take your berries from now and make them last all through the winter. Mm. People were making jam before they ever had a freezer. Now, if we have berries, I often have them in the freezer. And then you're not putting the sugar to it.
What's in season at the moment? Strawberries, definitely.
Strawberries are definitely out at the moment. I think somewhere there's some of the blackberries are in as well. But you know, the apples and that aren't even coming yet. Do you know, if you look at any of the trees, all the blossoms have just been out and now all the fruit are growing behind it. So I don't even see apples out here yet. So really, you are looking at strawberries.
So if you can at all, try and eat what's in season at the moment. And you were saying to me as well off air, Anne, that we should resist the temptation to drink our fruits. We're better off to eat the whole fruit rather than buying a smoothie from the supermarket.
I like to quote Ben Bickman, who's a professor of, you know, he looks at insulin resistance, and you know, he's a exercise scientist and he teaches people on insulin resistance, and he said, eat your food not out of boxes and bags with barcodes. And, you know, if you can eat your fruit with all its fiber, you're feeding the gut microbiome and you have a slower release of sugar into your system because of the fiber. But you just consider how many oranges it takes to give you the bottle of orange juice. And you can be thirsty and down that bottle of orange juice that might have the equivalent of 10 oranges and no fiber to counterbalance it.
Yeah, it's
fiber. And if you juice, you're going to take out the fiber. But if you get a high sugar, then your insulin has to come out higher. You have to release insulin from your pancreas in a higher amount to control the sugar, and then you can get a low blood sugar. So half an hour after that orange juice, you're hungry for something else. But if you were to eat the orange with the fiber, it will give you satisfaction for longer. Because last time we were on, we talked about the GLP-1 and the hunger being curbed by what you're eating. And we talked about acromantia because that's the bacteria that they talk about in terms of if we don't have enough of that, that we can't make the GLP-1 and then we continue to be hungry. So there's that bacteria that's been made. And then I just wanted to, one other thing I wanted to touch on today was oxalates.
What are they?
They're in the plants. They're not in meat. So they're in the plant. So they're in fruits and berries and certain, say they're in rhubarb high, but they're also high in spinach and Swiss chard. They're in almonds. They're not so high in flax seeds, do you know? So they are a compound that's in the vegetable to protect the vegetable and the fruit from predators out in the environment. And we should be able to break up those oxalates, and they should travel out when we, you know, move our bowel. But what they've discovered is there's a bacteria that should be in your bowel. So let's say you had an antibiotic, steroid, the pill, chemo, something that disrupted your bacteria. And you no longer make the oxalate binding probiotic. Now the oxalate binds to calcium in your gut. It comes into your system, and now you're releasing that calcium oxalate through the kidney. For anyone who's ever had a kidney stone or who has been married to somebody who had a kidney stone or who has looked after somebody who is absolutely in agony from this very sharp kidney stone that goes on the move, that gives you a lot of pain. So calcium, 80% of stones in the kidney are calcium oxalate stones. Now you picture your lovely delicate kidney and you grow a big stone in there. You're actually damaging the tissue of the kidney. And if you keep growing more stones, then you have to say, well, why am I getting all these calcium oxalate stones? So of course you're told, go on a diet of low oxalates. They're in the spinach, rhubarb, there's a lot of berries that it's in. So if you have to reduce down the oxalates, then you're restricting your diet to avoid those oxalates. Well, now we come to find out that they've actually found bacteria that binds, you know, there is an oxalobacter available. It's a bacteria that you can buy, put it into your system, bind the oxalates. Now, that's in terms of the kidney stones, but it also contributes to pains and aches. You know, I often talk about arthritis and I say nightshade vegetables, potato, tomato and the peppers. Now I'm here talking about oxalates. What happens when you can't handle oxalates? So yes, we can talk about the fruits and the berries and how good they are. and they're fantastic. What happens if you're a person who can't handle it? And I say to you, go and have strawberries. And then you say, oh yeah, I'd have strawberries, but they give me terrible aches and pains because they are a higher oxalate food. So there's no one size fits all. And there are certain things that have happened in your life, or maybe that you've knocked the bacteria, that has you not handle the fruits and the berries in the same way as maybe you did one time. So
okay.
No, there's no one size fits all.
Just before we go to break and coming back to fruits, a listener says, I'm supposed to be on a high fibre diet. What one food is the best for this? I wonder, do they mean what one fruit?
Yeah, well, food in general, you know, when you're on the whole grains, you're getting good fibre. But if you're eating the green vegetables, there's fibre in those. So pretty much all the fruit and vegetables will have fibre. They're all going to be, and she's not going to be on one particular food. She's going to be on a wide variety. I actually like the fact that you can have some nuts and seeds and, you know, the high fibre. You know, you look at a really good diet where you're eating a lot of vegetables and you could be pushing yourself to get 20 grams of fibre. And really, to get top fibre, you should probably be aiming for 50 grams of fibre. If you just counted up what you're getting in fibre in a day, even though you're eating salads and you're eating vegetables and you're having whole grains, you're actually, it's pretty tough to get the fibre in. You really have to concentrate on getting that high fibre in. And that's why people are buying fibre supplements. You know, people who've got a slow-moving gut, because the fibre is in your gut. You absorb water into the fibre. It bulks up your gut and then it passes through. So without the fibre, you can have more of a sluggish gut. And you don't want to have that because it is your waste pipe and it is you taking out toxins. All the toxins from your liver bind into that fibre. So I'd still say have a wide variety. I can't tell her one particular food over another one. I think having a bowl of porridge and putting in, say, the ground flax seeds.
That would be a good start.
I think so, yeah.
We better take a break, and 083 300 3300, if anyone has a question for our nutritional therapist, Anne Darcy. She'll be back to answer more of those after these.
Nutrition advice on Talk About in association with Anne Darcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Now, Anne, we have a lady who is age 70 and she says she seems to have a lot of wind in her stomach. Any suggestions as to what causes it and how to get rid of it? I take daily medication for blood pressure, cholesterol and an underactive thyroid.
So her system is a bit sluggish and you'd say it should be working better being on her thyroid hormone. But sometimes if that's not working as well, that she's a little bit sluggish in her digestion as well. So taking selenium with her L-thyroxine can actually help to convert that better, and taking a cod liver oil can help. Vitamin A and D and the essential fats helps the receptors for her thyroid hormone. That will often help to stimulate everything better. You also need to have digestive enzymes in your stomach to help you digest the food. If you don't digest it well, it ferments. Fermenting produces wind. Your belly gets bloated. And then as the food moves through your system, you're bringing with it the wind. You can either stimulate your digestion with lemon juice or apple cider vinegar, or you can take digestive enzymes. Taking a kiwi fruit has its own enzymes, papaya, pineapple, or take a supplement of a digestive enzyme to help you digest the food better.
And you'd get a digestive enzyme in Horns or one of
Health Shop, you'll find them in the chemist. They are around, yeah.
Listener says, Anne, what is in bananas that cause severe constipation for some people?
I don't know the answer to that. However, I have known for years since my own kids were small that if you had constipation, then yes, bananas were linked. I have no idea. Yeah. Not able to answer you on that one because I don't know, except that forever people have said bananas can cause constipation. They don't do it for everybody.
Yeah.
Like if you ask me how could wheat and dairy cause constipation, I'll tell you that gluten and dairy can turn into morphine, and glutamorphine and casomorphine. Again, the lack of a particular bacteria in the gut that makes an enzyme. And I can say to you that gluten and dairy in a person without that bacteria to make that enzyme will become constipated. I can tell you that serotonin and not having enough serotonin can lead you to be constipated. And when you have cold hands and feet and your mood is down or you're a bit picky, it might indicate your serotonin is low. And I can tell you that that's one of the reasons for constipation. You're not having enough fiber, you're not having enough water, you're not moving as much. Can all lead to constipation. But I will look it up and see if I can find out. There has to be something in there
in
that is a trigger for making
for certain people.
Yeah,
on people.
Yeah. And it's only for certain people.
A listener says, God, I could have written this myself. This person says, will you ask Anne how to stop sugar cravings? This person says they have a good diet but high cholesterol.
Good diet with high cholesterol. And you know when you look at your HDL number, for example, and the HDL number is good and high, it's a sign of good, strong metabolic health as opposed to it being low. And if you have high triglycerides, it's an indication of your sugar being turned into fat in your body, because that's then, you, oh, you have a fatty liver, you're putting fat on in the belly, and your cholesterol could also then be going up. How do you stop it? Chromium, the mineral, it can be deficient and it can cause you to have sugar cravings because you're not, the chromium is needed, glucose tolerance factor, to allow the insulin to open the door of the cell for sugar. I go to put diesel in the car, I have to be able to open the cap to put it in. If I can't open the receptors, then I can't burn off that sugar for fuel. It's floating around in my bloodstream and I'm tired as well. So if you're tired, your body is going to be craving more sugar. So if your sugar drops, you're craving more sugar. So cinnamon, the spice, cinnamon can help. Ceylon cinnamon specifically helps you to help to bind the insulin and allow the sugar in to burn off. Chromium, the mineral, can help there as well. And eating a wide variety of food, that I would say protein and fat first, and full whole grains rather than white rice or white flour.
And if you were to take chromium, you'd what, take it in tablet form
can,
every day?
Yeah, you can get a capsule and about 200 micrograms of chromium. But remember, chromium is really on the whole grains. But when we strip the whole grains, you know, when we're processing food, we often lose a lot of that. And then for sugar cravings, my other thing is if that lady, the person who asked about the wind in the belly, if you're fermenting your food, you can grow yeast. Yeast we will call candida. And for people who've got an overgrowth of yeast in their system, they can also be craving sugars. So I'd say look at your tongue. If you see a white coating on your tongue, it's often an indication that there is a yeast overgrowth that can have you craving sugars as well. But they're the main ones. And I'll also say, if you're not sleeping well, you get your cortisol level is higher the next day. And that can cause you to have lower blood sugar. So
a
bad night's sleep has somebody craving sugars.
Yeah.
And they say, oh, I need that to give me a boost. I didn't sleep well last night.
Mm.
But when you don't sleep well, your cortisol levels are high. And with that, you're releasing sugar that out of stored muscle just to try and survive. So many reasons.
This next one, I think, will probably just take us up to the end. It's someone going through a menopause nightmare. She has belly fat and weight gain that won't shift. She's been on a protein calorie deficit for 3 months, hasn't even lost half a pound, taking magnesium and ashwagandha to help her stay asleep, but that's not working either. She's still waking up 3 times a night for the last 3 years. Any help greatly appreciated. So there's two issues there. She can't lose weight off her belly and she can't stay asleep.
Yeah. So when you hit menopause, you lose your progesterone, but your body should still be able to make estrogen. And the adrenal glands make it. If your adrenal glands don't make it, then your belly fat makes it. So we build fat to produce estrogen because the body is still looking for estrogen. So sometimes, you know, going on, I would take, say, a natural progesterone, or somebody else will take a herb or an essential oil blend, something that is going to help manage those hormonal fluctuations that she's going through. That's where hot flushes and all these things come from, hormonal fluctuations. And you will find that people, their sleep goes out of balance, come balance completely in the middle of that. When I see somebody, I go through a whole load of factors. Like the ashwagandha is really good. It's an adrenal tonic. You're saving your adrenals to try and help them to make you the estrogen. But what if you've spent a lifetime of being a stressed person? You know, they're drained already. They're still working, but they're not maybe able to produce enough of the raw material for your estrogen. And that's why some people go on HRT and other people go on creams, you know, other people go on herbs that can help to balance it. I'm more likely to do something more natural and but I hear where she's at, and there's a lot of people suffering. Like when you look at half the population is women, and we have that window of time. And I would often find now that women are going into menopause and perimenopause a lot earlier.
Mm.
You know, what we used to think of in the 50s, we're seeing now in early 40s. And we're even seeing girls in their 30s who are losing the effect of their ovaries, you know.
It's frightening.
It is, yeah.
And that lady could probably do it, making an appointment with you. Speaking of which, will you before we finish up, will you just let us know where people can find you?
So I'm in All Therapy Centre here in Tralee. I work in Tipperary. I'm from Tipperary and I work there as well. But on a Thursday, I'm in Tralee. Actually, in 2 weeks' time, I'm here on a Friday as well. So All Therapy Centre, my own number is 087-775-9385. And we were talking about Instagram because we were just chatting about it. So I have Ann Darcy, ND, on Instagram. And I'm trying to give like little blurbs of information that people can get. People who are listening to this radio have learned an awful lot, because people come in and they tell me, I've been listening to you for years, or my husband was listening to you and he could relate to what you were saying in relation to me. So, you know, I get to see people that have learned an awful lot. We're doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm. We are, about 17 years, I think.
So, yeah.
So Ann Darcy, ND, on Instagram.
On Instagram.
If people want to follow you, or indeed they'll find you at the All Therapy Clinic on Rock Street in Tralee. We better let you go, Ann, because we're out of time. But thank you, as always.